Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
Yeah. Got
all right.
It's extremely early on a
it's only extremely early if you aren't you you're mountain and I'm central and Kyle is Pacific, so it's earliest Jackie, for him. That's why he's wearing a hat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's most convenient for you. No surprise.
No surprise. We're constantly dancing to my tune on this podcast.
It's Sunday morning after Saturday where we both had two headlining club shows. So I didn't want to go.
How are you loving it? You're loving it, right?
I'm at the Denver Comedy Works South. It's incredible. I love it. The condo's amazing. Coffee maker's a little
staff.
Old.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yes, staff's. Here's the thing with the coffee maker is you make coffee and then you have to heat it for, it doesn't get hot. I don't know why the water doesn't get hot enough or it doesn't stay hot, but it gets hot for a second and then immediately cools down so you can microwave it for like a minute.
And okay, so they might need a new coffee maker, right? That's all.
Maybe. I would never say that on my first time.
No, exactly. I can because I'm staying in that same condo next week.
I know, Jackie. Which, I'm leaving you butter and I'm leaving you cream. I'm leaving you vanilla soy cream. It's my favorite. It's quite a. Don't make that face. Try it first.
Okay, I'll try it. Here's my question: Are you sleeping in the hard bed or the soft bed? There's two beds.
I'm sleeping in the one
with the pool, with the bathtub or the one with the shower.
Yeah, with the bathtub.
Okay.
And it has it's a Tempur-Pedic, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
I like what I think of as the features room. I like that bed better. So we won't be sleeping in the same bed.
How sad is it that you're instinctively drawn to the features room? That is just. If you can't train your brain to lead the headliner life, how are you going to have a great career?
It's so true.
It's such a pretty view. There's like the Rocky Mountains are right before me. I've been sitting out on the balcony all week, just writing and stuff.
That's
so
awesome.
You know, when you go out to the left, there's that Early Bird Cafe.
Yeah.
Okay. Two mornings in a row. I ordered toast and it was burnt to a crisp both times.
The Early Bird Cafe is not a great cafe.
I don't understand how any human could serve that to somebody. Like the first time I got it, I was like, what? And I go, hey, can I get just a little less, you know, lightly toasted, right? So then she brings out, it's barely, maybe she passed it over the toaster. So it was... It was not toasted. And then no
she
butter.
She just held it and said the word toast.
Yes. But then no butter. Like it was just plain bread. And I'm like, I don't want to deal. I don't understand the brain that thinks this is acceptable. And I don't want to interact with it anymore. So I'll just eat straight bread that's lightly toasted.
And then the next day you go back.
Well, it was right around the corner. I thought.
No, I did exactly the same thing. My sister and I went to breakfast at a place here in Minneapolis called Eggies. And and I ordered two eggs over medium and they were almost burnt. And so
they send them my way when they're, I love my eggs burnt.
Well, and so I said, can I just get one runny egg so that I can enjoy it over my gyro skillet. And and so she comes back with two eggs. So I ate four eggs that morning. The next morning I go to breakfast with the same place with my friend Grove. And I'm like, it was actually really good except for the weird egg thing. And so I just order eggs, bacon, toast. And I'm like, over easy. And so they come and they're over so hard. And I'm like, what is happening with the egg situation here? And the service was actually quite, there's a staffing issue. And guess who's completely on the side of the staff? This
sure,
one, right?
Exactly.
Here.
Exactly. I know. I still tipped really well. I still tipped 50%. Okay.
Yeah. Right. You still tip really well because I love the fact that there's a bunch of people who realize that they don't have to have that shitty job and they've figured out a way to earn some other way of living where they don't have that, you know, just shooting pain in their neck every time they think about going to work. So God love them, I say completely. And the people who are there are overworked. So
What we need to do is bring a laminated printout of what our eggs should look like. You know what I mean? Like almost a Denny's menu, and go, can you give me this exactly? Take this back to the chef.
Show them this. Do you know that Andy made a spreadsheet of Chris's meds? With pictures of every pill.
I love it. He's such a spreadsheet guy. Oh my
God. He's a spreadsheet guy. We've got her though. We got her. She's got two of the three main, two of the four main doctors. She's seen them at UCLA. She has the best insurance. And she has the good original Medicare. I guess Medicare Advanced is not as good. That's the Medicare we will get. Hi.
Great.
If it's still there. And then to her secondary insurance, because she worked for the state of California, is an Anthem PPO. So.
Oh, okay.
So I go to Kaiser, and Kaiser is all one thing. And I like that so that the doctors can see everything that's happened. But UCLA and Cedars-Sinai and USC, if you. You know, whatever. And we went with UCLA because that's where Andy went to college. Anyway, but
the Ronald Reagan building?
No, we went to the Encino one because it's closer. Okay. So, but we go in, we meet her primary care physician, and the difference was palpable immediately between UCLA and Kaiser. And it was beautiful, and she needs better care than I do, but I do admit to a certain amount of jealousy.
I also go to UCLA or I get, you know, through the Writers Guild, like when, you know, surgery wise and stuff like that. It's really nice. I hope I get another job. I don't want to lose my Writers Guild coverage. It's fucking Jackie. You see my insides, as I said in my album, of an old man. Okay. So I need my good coverage. But she's really obviously she's bounced back from COVID. That's amazing.
Yes. Mm. Yes. It's
does she have any lingering taste and smell and all that kind of stuff?
And I'm a jackass, so I'm like, I bet she just had a really bad cold and a false positive. I don't know that. Because it was one of the swab tests, and it was positive. Andy also had a swab test that was positive once, but he didn't have any symptoms. And I've never had a positive swab test or anything. And no one's wearing masks here, by the way. There were literally last night, there were 150 people. Granted, the numbers are still down. Like, they're not filling the room like Tom Segura.
Before COVID.
COVID. I don't know if that's, it's not that I'm not taking it personally, because I worry. But I had some drama. How was your week?
Well, first of all, I'll repeat your drama in a sec. But this is a week where Biden got COVID, which brought a whole bunch of new coverage to the current Omicron variant, which probably affected shows, in my opinion, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish there was a way to tell immediately if you gotten COVID, because I feel like I did a really good job this week as far as I could. Like, I was masked the entire time, except when I was on stage. And on stage, I put my 2 foot tall or whatever, 1.5 foot tall purifier center stage. I had it behind me at Go Bananas because I was so embarrassed that I brought it. And then I was like, fuck it. You know, it's good looking. It's black. It looks like a little speaker, right?
Yeah.
And so I put it right in front of me. I stood right behind it. It was blowing up my shirt and like the Marilyn Monroe thing a little bit. And I was like, this is the best I can do. Mm-hmm. And I had my little portable purifier next to me too. And I was like, you know, hopefully I'm just getting clean air and the vaccines all four of them are doing their job and stuff. So, but I feel like, you know, if I got it this week, there's no way to avoid it as a comic then, unless you're not doing shows.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right. I mean, if you get it, you're doing everything right. That would be weird. So I am not doing everything.
We'll see. We'll see. Please let me get to Montreal, please. I leave, because I'm making a nice little chunk of change, and I really, really need it. And I told you guys before we started recording, but I was just put on an incredibly cool show.
Yeah.
I'm so excited about. And I want to bring my son, because the person I'm on the show with, my son worships and loves.
And but you've never met them, right?
Right. I can't get a fucking dog sitter at the moment. And so, because the boarding place that I've been using, they're full. Like,
oh, wow.
They can't take any more dogs. And so I'm trying to get an emergency dog sitter, but everyone's working, which is good. Great. Congratulations. But if I can't do that, because I can't leave Charmy alone all day, you know, for like 12 hours. Her dad,
no.
My son's dad could take care of the dog at night, but not during the day. So I would just need a day person, I guess. But anyway, it's just becoming this nightmare. And I'm like, maybe I'll just not worry about it, because the last minute ticket is also prohibitively expensive.
And you'll work with that person again. You'll work with that person.
No.
One and done. This is the only chance. Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
And it'll never happen again.
I'm doing Patton's gala, and Patton is in Sandman, which I know my kids are going to watch 4,000 times, and all his other stuff. So
is he playing Dream? Seems unlikely.
No, I don't know.
He's not.
I have no idea. I was looking at his Instagram. He said
Sandman was the first thing that Andy was the second thing Andy gave me. And so Andy gave me something little, and just to get like, the first Knish is for free. That's a Welcome Back, Connor reference. He's like, here's, he's like, here's this top, I think it was top 10, Alan Moore. And then next thing he hands me is 75 floppies of Sandman. He's like, just try it. And
floppiness? What's a floppy?
No, floppy individual comics. We have all the individuals.
Oh my God.
And we also, and so every year for five years, I think it was, I bought him the $100 bound with extra art, and it's leather. And except for that, nobody ever reads those. He has all, if he wants to reread Sandman, and he does, he'll pull the comics and read that. He's like, I just want to read The Wake. You know, Andy's read, he's been in four live action role-playing games of Sandman. And Maria and I did the last one, which was based on The Wake. And we wanted to just watch. And turns out nobody wants you to watch a LARP. First, it's sort of like watching a game of D&D that's like 6 hours. You're never getting back. So
that's why I feel about this description of LARP.
Really?
But go ahead.
Oh,
yeah. It feels like 6 hours. I'm never getting back. I'm glad you and Andy found each other, because you truly have no other partners.
Fine. Your son will get into LARPing, and then all of a sudden you will be into LARPing. And just right now you'll be dragged into it, because you are neck deep in anime, my friend. And yeah.
Well, let's see. So this week, this person I've been writing a half hour idea with, her pitching it to like a big company on Tuesday. And then Wednesday I go to Montreal, and then I have at least two really big shows. Come back on Saturday. I wish I could stay an extra day. They're kicking me out as soon as my show's over. I practically have to get off stage from the gala on Friday night and go to the airport.
Huh. That's
I'm
weird.
I'm going to miss out on all the parties. I'm going to write my name on my mask so people know who I am and they don't have to ask, and just, you know, hobnob as much as I can. There's a lot of, I don't know who's going to be out and about.
Maria's going. She's doing the gala.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Is she hosting?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I think she's doing it. Yeah. It's, I haven't been in a couple of years. It's that guy Jeff. He used to book me. Was it Jeff?
Jeff Singer?
Yeah. Wasn't he the one?
Really? No, he books new faces. I think
he did, but I think he got there was some trouble with him. Some sort of scandal. There was some sort of scandal.
He's not there anymore. It's weird.
Right,
I know I'm from Tough Crowd. And so
sure
it's
do.
Weird when you know and have a fondness for somebody, and then you hear some stuff, you're like, oh, all right. I have to reshuffle them in my brain, I guess.
Right. He resigned June of 21.
Right. So you're looking that up?
I just looked that up.
You love your accuracy.
Who doesn't?
So this week was really fun. It had very fun comics, you know. So we both turned the same age, mm-hmm. right? Now we're both the same age, right? And now I'm with you. I'm not going to say it. yesterday there was a comic where's the chat? Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it's this guy,
he's a staple, and this is how old he is, right? So he says on stage, he goes, "How old I am?" He said his age, and I thought, well, good for him for still doing comedy and being funny. And then I'm like, wait, he's only 5 years older than me. What the fuck? I'm almost that age. Oh no!
And that didn't show up in the chat.
Oh, it didn't. Oh, okay.
No.
So that's weird. Well,
but I DM'd it to me.
Okay. And I do know that I know how old I am. So 5 years older. I did do that math.
But the audience clapped for him, and he kind of said it like he was elderly. And I'm like, I don't know. What's it going to feel like in 5 years when we're still doing stand-up and we're that age that people are clapping that we're still standing on our own feet? That's crazy.
Well, it is crazy, but it's because you never know what you look like. You never know I don't feel how old I am now.
Same here.
Right. So, but, you know, I want to do a new bit about when I figured out that I was an adult. Right. And because I look around and I mm-hmm. and I see people in their early 30s who don't know yet that they're the adult in every interaction.
Right.
And that's
right.
When I learned I was about 35, I think, when I learned that I was the adult. And it was, you know what made me learn it? I pushed a kid down, a 9-year-old. Hi, I was 35. wasn't that bad. I mean, but for the sake of the joke, it will be. Anyway,
Jackie, I side with you anytime child abuse is involved. I know that you were right.
I whipped a towel at her and I put my hand on her shoulder and I was like, clean it up. And and as soon as I applied any force to her shoulder, I was like, oh no, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? And I was like, all right. So I didn't babysit I was doing childcare at the time. And she, and she said, I'm going to tell my mom. And I said, please do. Your mom will be on my side. And, cause she shook a soda, this kid.
Yeah.
And said, I figured out a way that I shake the soda and it doesn't spray everywhere. And I was like, it's going to spray everywhere. And what I should have said, of course, was let's do it outside. But I said, it's going to spray everywhere and I'm going to have to clean it up. And she's like, it won't happen. It won't happen. I'm going to get to do it. And I'm like, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. She did it, sprayed everywhere. I whipped a towel at her. I put my hand on her shoulder and I had her sit down in it. And I said, clean it.
No, that was proper and right. You were correct. if other babysitters had done that to her, then she wouldn't have gotten trouble from you.
She would have known better right away. So
Chappelle, did he ever pop? He never popped in. I'm assuming would have said something.
No, it came up, of course. It came up a couple of times, and
you're in Minneapolis, and he was working there, and it was a huge week of another week of him trending on Twitter. I swear to God,
canceled thing. Poor thing.
Oh my, yeah. And then the shows he did sold out, and the tickets were like $130 each. I mean, it's just like
they were $600 for this on the street. Yeah, they were being scalped for $600, which of course he doesn't get any of that money, and I'm okay with that. But but the weird thing is,
the economy, the Chappelle economy, is pretty impressive.
Right. So he had one show at First Ave, you know, mostly for cred, mostly for fun. And then he had four shows at the Varsity Theater.
Is First Ave like the Largo of Minneapolis or something?
Yeah, it's where Prince used to go up. It's like it's a band venue. It's like,
okay.
Yeah. So, and the Varsity is a theater. And all five shows had been sold out. There was some backlash about him. And so First Ave was like, just move all five shows to the Varsity.
Yeah, right.
Because we don't want you here right now.
Yeah.
And so they moved to the Varsity. So nothing happens. He just loses his cool kid, you know, gets to do the place where Prince was, right?
Right.
And,
right.
But he doesn't ever show up. And someone in the audience, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, mentioned it in the audience. And so I just, it's such a weird hill for him to die on, this trans thing, him and J.K. Rowling, right?
Where you're like, it's so crazy.
I swear to God, I get that he's an older guy.
Yeah.
And clearly all I can assume is that he found himself attracted to a woman who had had to transition, mm-hmm. found out that it was a woman who had had to transition and freaked the fuck out instead of just processing it. Instead
right.
of just saying, you know, I'm actually not attracted to you anymore. It's weird. And I'm sorry I'm not attracted to you. But, you know how many guys have told me that they're not attracted to me in my life? And I don't have anything special about me except for an extra 50 pounds. Right. Mm-hmm. But they're just like, no, I'm not into it. Right. And
yeah.
We all move, you know, I'm sure if you would have just said that to the woman that he was attracted to, she would have been like, all right. It's not like you can sue somebody for not being attracted to you, but you know, you're just like, oh, I thought I liked you. Think about how many people are married for like 35 years and then fucking get divorced. You know, you're like, you get to think you're attracted to somebody and then go, I'm actually not.
Yeah. I don't know, you know, who's attracted to what, but I think
but this is my story that I've written. I'm sorry, but go ahead. Tell me.
But no, I'm saying like, there's like this comic thing of, don't tell me what I can't talk about. Right. And you yeah. get that yeah. everyone, no matter how, what the point of view you're coming from, you get that, don't you tell me. And so you have to decide for yourself what you're going to talk about it, but it's just so, it's so wild to me that he's so obstinate about this and he's not seeing the damage it's doing to his reputation of all of his previous work, you know,
and
that
was fan base.
So yeah. subtle and funny and sharp. And he's sort of going down as kind of like a troll. It's like, oh no, don't, you know, I don't, whatever.
Well, it is. And here's the thing about Chappelle's stuff. And I have not seen all of it. And some people are huge fans and they've seen a lot more of it than I have. I've mm-hmm. seen a lot of his sort of the clips that surf the internet and it's the stuff that I think is kind of genius, the Mona yeah. Lisa's of his act, shall we say, as yeah. he would put it, are racial
are
usually the insightful racial stuff, right? Mm-hmm. His stuff about women has always been a bit of a shit show.
Well, yeah, no offense, Kyle, most male comics
well,
Kyle accepted.
Right. Well, yeah. The thing is, I mean, you're writing this amazingly nuanced, biting, super like overarching, awesome jokes about race. And then you're like, yeah. bitches, man, what are you going to do?
And yes, I know. It drives me insane.
So I guess I'm not surprised. So I'm going to talk about this. And okay. I'm never going to get the name of that guy that opened for you, by the way. You're going to leave it as a DM to Kyle.
Oh, okay. He was very funny. And I just
threw in the chat for you.
Thank you very
much. Sam Adams. And he's a Denver guy, super funny.
He's a Denver guy who's been around for a long time. But yeah. And very
but again, like he's only 5 years older than us, but he said his name on stage, like, you know, it was an incredible feat that he, you know, shown up. And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna whatever. I'm like, oh, but I'm gonna
you stopped. You're like, wait, why am I?
Wait a minute.
Right. So you got this email too, right? From this this cable company that wants to, from these people that want to do a documentary happened. How has the industry changed? Cancel culture and since
it's since Louis CK based, and so right?
yeah, it's Louis yeah. based and
a documentary on comedy.
Documentary, right? And I wrote back and I said, could you please interview Bill Burr. Could you please interview Tom Segura or Bert Kreischer or Pete Lee, anybody that isn't me, right? Can you please get like these very successful men who get to work many clubs I do not work and won't take a financial hit by being on this?
Right. Yeah.
And she wrote me back and she said, well, would you be willing to speak off the record, like a phone call? And I was like, sure. And, you know, because I have stated my opinion about all of this, the canceling, the only repercussion that any of these guys, whether it's Jeff Ross or D'Elia or TJ Miller and CK
Brian,
himself.
Callen. Yeah.
Yeah, Brian Callen and all the Joe Rogan, all these guys, the only thing, and Joe Rogan's just a weird.
Yeah, fascist, he's not.
But yeah.
Not an assessor. Right.
Right. He seems to just be super weirdly Nazi. And yeah. And so, yeah. But the, when I said the only real repercussions, of course, are their fan base has changed. And because Louis.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to take a break. We lost Jackie for a second. She's back, but we're almost at 30. So we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back with our heated discussion.
Hi, my name is Graham Clark and I'm one half of the podcast Stop Podcasting Yourself, a show that we've recorded for many, many years. And at the moment, instead of being in person, we're recording remotely. And you wouldn't even notice. You don't even notice the lag.
That's right, Graham. And the great thing about this... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. And...
Okay, go ahead.
And you can listen to us every week on Maximum Fun. .org
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your podcasts.
Guys, you've probably heard about microdosing. If not, just know that all sorts of people are microdosing daily to feel healthier and to perform better. Our show today is sponsored by Microdose Gummies. Microdose Gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. You know what? I'm not getting high off this stuff. I am falling asleep like a baby and I love it. I was taking a full one and then I cut it back to a half. I just needed a half. And they've totally replaced melatonin. And I've said before, the melatonin nightmares have stopped because now I microdose gummies and it's all happy dreams and wonderful feelings. Microdose is available nationwide. To learn more about microdosing THC, go to microdose.com. Use the code Jackie Laurie to get free shipping and 30% off your first order. Links can be found in the show description. Again, that is microdose.com, code Jackie Laurie. No slash, just microdose.com and then Jackie Laurie. Jackie and Laurie fans, your hair is completely unique. You know this. And products that address its specific needs, that's where Function and Beauty comes in. Here's how it works. First, you take the quick hair quiz to build your hair profile and select 5 hair goals, like lengthen, volumize, oil control. Next, choose your color, your fragrance, go dye or fragrance free. Then get your healthy, freshly filled formula delivered straight to your door and prepare for the good hair days ahead. Say goodbye to generic hair care for good, you guys. Go to functionofbeauty.com/Jackie Laurie. Take your hair goals quiz and you'll save 25% off your first order. I'm still making my way through my eucalyptus bottle of shampoo, which I love more than anything. functionofbeauty.com/Jackie Laurie. Let them know you heard about it from our show, not those other shows. We want the credit. I'm the one reading this ad. I want the credit for this, okay? Get 25% off your first order. That's functionofbeauty.com/Jackie Laurie. Take your hair quiz and save 25% off your first order.
And the comic of the week.
Oh, our comic of the week. So funny. You sent her Instagram over and I went and watched some stuff. She was on Netflix as a joke. Natalie Acker. You are.
Yeah. And I heard about her through the guy who featured for me this week at Acme, Mo, and what the heck was Mo's last name? Anyway, he's a dude. He can't be a comic.
Who cares? Yeah. What if the men nice. Just don't have last names on our show anymore?
That's funny.
We have to dehumanize them as much as possible.
Kyle.
I'm already there. You got to get more successful comedians on this list.
Kyle Clark. Anyway, so Kyle Clark is rad. So the
what's her
Instagram again? It's Natalie Natalie, if I remember correctly.
No,
right?
Natalie.
Okay.
A-U-K-U-R.
You are.
But and like Scott Aukerman, A-R. That went
no, no, it's he, it's A-R. It's not U-R. It's A-U-K-A-R.
Okay.
Yeah, and she's really smart. She's really funny. And she's got a Netflix credit, which is always nice. And everybody should book and follow and watch her stand-up comedy because it's a delight.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so go ahead. So the documentarian, here's the thing. Documentarians, they're really good at getting more from you than you wanted to give. That's my thing about talking off the record. I'm not going to stop talking. And then, hey, do you mind if we record this? Just this one little soundbite. Okay. And then all of a sudden you're fucking front and center and you're on a clip and you're never working a comedy again.
Right. Well, and I will say that at the end of it, she was like, I'm just going to ask just one more time, if you'd be willing to say any of this on camera, it'd be so great. And so what I said to her was, if you could get them, this large cable company you work for, to give me a special, I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll never hear from her again.
I don't want to be on a TV network complaining about comedy. I want to be complaining in comedy about everything else in my life on a special. That's, God, Jackie, pound that water. Did you just drink an entire bottle all by yourself right then?
I have a drinking problem. A lot of people don't know this about me, but I have a drinking problem.
Okay. So. And you know, the stuff that the documentarian has worked on is great. She's really great at her job. But what they are actually good at, and same with reporters, is getting you to say stuff that you don't want to say. That's their whole job, is teasing it out of reluctant people. And you have to watch out for yourself. The worse it's going to be for your career, the better it is for their documentary.
Right. Right. I always think about poor Orny Adams in that comedian documentary.
Right. Right.
Because he was vilified. He was made the bad guy of that thing. And then I remember watching that documentary and hearing his sound bites and going, what is with this guy? He's kind of a tool. He's kind of a mess. And then seeing his stand-up and going, he's a really good comic. What are they doing to him? Yeah, perfectly good comic, right? And but the way he talked off stage or the way they cut it made me think that he was not going to be as interesting a comic as he was on stage. So no, I'm happy for him. Yes.
Yeah, but they got him in that weird time where you got Montreal, so you think, oh my God, I'm finally, the train's finally pulling out of the station and I'm gonna be famous. That's where they caught him. We've all been at that place where you think it's all gonna happen, you know? And thank God none of my thoughts were recorded for posterity at that time. Yeah. Right. But yeah, Ooni's doing okay. He's at the Improv every weekend. So he's getting his spots in, he's doing fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, he's fine. But I always think about that, is that they got him to say things.
Right.
That,
yes.
Yeah,
because you'll talk for like an hour and then you're tired and your guard is down. And then at minute 61 is whatever you say is the only clip that shows up.
Right. I thought we would talk for about 15 minutes. We talked for 45 minutes.
She's good. Yeah. She's fucking good.
Yeah, she's fucking good. So... Yeah. If she gets back with me and I end up having a special, that'll be good for my career. And, you know, I think about all the sort of the younger comics who don't get into the clubs and then just sort of create their own careers anyway, right? Mm-hmm. Who play all the all the sort of the one-nightery things. And
then
get to open up for bigger names. I was just asking you about Amy Miller, who's a great comic, but she opens for Segura. And
like
Segura
in theaters,
is...
right? Or is he playing stadium? It seems like something
it was
around.
A big was theater. Either. It was a big theater, that last clip of hers that I saw. So, Here's a weird thing about doing five. I did Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So I did six shows. My voice is scratchy. And so I can think is I have COVID. So, but I did six shows. And last night's second show, there was drama.
Tell.
I did, for the first time ever, I did the thing that I've been threatening to do ever since that lawsuit, which is if it gets ugly, yeah. I walked off.
Oh, tell me what happened. What?
So second show, Saturday. It was very much a second show Friday kind of thing. There was a giant pack of bachelorette girls, women in the middle center, right? And then there were three two tops that I did not know were related. And so they were, and the second show starts at 9:30 now. There's no reason to be hammered. Why are you hammered? Right. And so so I get out there and there was one of the tables, there was a guy there and he was wearing like a blue line shirt.
The thin blue line. Oh, the police, the flag with the blue line in place. Oh, God.
And so I just said to him, that shirt is ridiculous. We have a flag. And
Jackie.
What?
All right. No, I know. I mean, did you start it or did he start it?
No. This wasn't the guy who was kicked out.
Oh, okay.
So, but it was weird kind of from the beginning because then I couldn't really go into my act. And if someone's wearing that shirt, I'm going to be thinking, well, conceal and carry exists. Is he going to pull out a gun and murder me? And I got him back with this old Minnesota snowmobile joke that he had personified. And so I got him. I even got his wife, who they were a caricature couple. They were cute in that sort of alt-right kind of dumb way. And
where she gets all of her self-esteem by being married to this guy.
Right. She's wearing sort of a ripped up dress that's off the shoulder and kind of up high on her thighs. And you're like, okay. And she's kind of lying all over the chair. And and next to her is another couple. It's some haircut and his wife. And then behind them is another couple where there's a woman dressed kind of like a dragonfly. She's wearing a lot of different layers.
A dragonfly.
Just a lot. Yeah. And then she's with a dude who, and I didn't know all three of these tables were together. So I tell the snowmobile joke. I sort of get the blue line ding dong back into the fold. And the snowmobile joke has a booze talk in it, right? And so the couple in the back, the woman, the dragonfly lady, she is like, oh, and I had forgotten my soda backstage. So the whole thing was sort of a little messy. The bachelorette party was loud. These people were loud and weird. I had forgotten my soda backstage. And so this woman, the woman who was with them, who dressed like a dragonfly, offered me her beer, which led me to tell the stories of my two DUIs. And so I just told those old bits that aren't on anything. And
way to cozy up to the late show crowd.
Well, feel free to take a cab, you guys. So call a Lyft if you think you're going to get pulled over. And of the three couples, the haircut and the blonde woman in the front, she keeps leaning over and talking at this level to him. And they're in the very front row. And I'm like, you gotta zip it. All right, you're a little loud. Could you not talk? And so finally I said, could you not talk? And she goes, no, I'm okay. And so she's drunk. And I'm like,
right.
Actually, it's really distracting. If you could not, that'd be awesome. And she's like, no, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. And so the third time I was like, seriously, you have to shut the fuck up. And she's like, no, I can do this. And I said, actually, you can't. You got to go. I think you got to head out. And so I was like, I'm just going to go in the back in the green room, get my soda, and I'll come back out when she's gone. Which wow. I have seen. I've seen a handful of men do it. I've never had the guts to do it.
Oh my God. So was the rest of the crowd behind you?
John DeBoer took a video because I wasn't out for, and it took like 30, 45 seconds. This is the awesome thing about Acme. One of the managers came over to the table, I guess, and just leaned in and he said, I think that was your cue to leave.
Wow.
And so she gets up and leaves and the other two go. The other two tables that were with her, Blue Line and the Dragonfly.
Yeah.
They get up and they all head out.
Oh, so,
and I guess, okay. Yeah. So those six people leave. And right. the staff was like, we were this close to kicking the bachelorette party out. We're so sorry we missed the other loud people.
So did the bachelorettes go, oh, this shit got real and just clamped down?
Yeah, yeah. And John DeBoer was in the audience. And so he films the audience in the 30 seconds that I'm backstage. Yeah. And and he tells me about it after the show, Johnny. And I was like, were they tense? Were they mad at me? And he's like, no, it was an enormously respectful silence. And after the show, everybody was like, good work. That was perfect. Cool. And I came back out to a big applause. And then I made it weird just because I'd never done it before. And I had a hard time getting into my new material. So I went so deep into the vault, Lori. I was like, just do your time.
Yeah.
I just went into the vault and I did a bunch of, you know, I did some new stuff. I did some staycation stuff. I got it. Oh, by the way, I sold out of my merch and I'm off to Denver. So Andy's got to mail me merch.
He's got to mail it to you. I ran out of books on the Friday first show. Mm-hmm. So, I could have brought two more 100 pounds of books. They're so fucking heavy, Jackie. I can't tell you.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah.
And I'm not having Andy send me any shirts just because he's not going to be able to sort of do it like I would do it. So he's going to send me 60 CDs, DVDs, because
that's all you're going to sell at Denver is DVDs and CDs.
I sold out of all the CDs and DVDs I brought.
What?
Because because the pitch is that they're not playing them anymore. All you have to do is find the device.
I'm still shocked that pitch works, but I'm happy for you. That's great.
It's weird that it works, but And it'd be great if you could find some stickers, but I think they're buried. I don't know. We'll see. But
I need some free stickers to have just in case people don't buy books, you know?
Yeah. Well, do you have any more Jackie and Lori's?
They're somewhere around. You gotta
bring those.
Just packing that stuff. Jackie, I brought two giant purifiers, and then I realized I only just need the one on stage. So I have three suitcases. I'm going on Southwest, so it's okay. But like, I had so much stuff. Oh my God, I forgot to. Did we talk about my Tuesday, Wednesday? We didn't, right?
No. Okay. Oh, right.
So I was someone who books a room in Vail tagged on a date, you know, and the whole thing, Wendy at the Comedy Awards was like, okay, you can do it, but you can't advertise that it's you. Right. So he just said, it's a show with a secret headliner and it's sold out anyway. Right.
Right.
And it's in Vail. So it's like 100 miles away from Denver. So he picks me up at the airport. On Tuesday, I get in early, and the pitch to me is, you know, you get a little extra money and you have a day in Vail because the show's Wednesday night, all Wednesday in Vail. I'm like, I'm going to go on a gondola or a ski lift or whatever and just, you know, look at the mountains. It'll be beautiful. So he picks me up. We're driving back. We stop for gas in the middle of fucking nowhere. Okay. And I get out of the car and I lock the door as anyone would, I might add, who's worried. Okay, but
all of your stuff is in the car.
Sure, right?
Of course, you locked the car. Yeah. Okay.
So his keys were in the car, so I locked the keys in the car. So now we have to call AAA.
Yeah, you do.
His phone's also in the car. I luckily don't leave don't walk one step without my phone. So I had my phone, but I had like very little battery. So I had to buy cords and charger in the Sinclair Mini Mart and then plug it in outside. So we call AAA AAA and his USAA is my towing service. Yep. And then just individual towing and mechanics and garages nearby. And when I say nearby, within 50 miles.
Okay.
So it takes 2 hours and someone comes and then not only does it take 2 hours, two services come at once at the exact same time, 2 hours later.
2 hours.
Yes.
Of course, okay. 2 hours, 50 miles. Oh my God. They both show up at the same time.
So that we get back in the car and drive. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm mortified, right? And also, this is already now it's a long Tuesday, but check in. I'm in a resort. It's nice. I'm like, I'm a resort in Vail. And then we go have dinner. I buy dinner, you know, out of
guilt, right? Guilty, throwing cash. Yes.
Okay. Yes, yes, yes. So I get a big hamburger and it's delicious. And then I go back to my room and something's not feeling right in my tummy, right? And the altitude started getting to me and I have a terrible headache. Okay. Now there's no mini marts nearby. It's Vail. Vail's a weird town. Everything closes. They probably don't want a 7-Eleven because they don't want the people it would attract. Like there's nothing handy about it. Okay.
No,
and
not
I'm not
at all.
Feeling this good. I'm up till 4-5 in the morning. Now I know I'm not going to have a day in Vail because I'm up till 5 in the morning. So if I get my 8 hours sleep, I'm going to be awake I'm not going to wake up till the afternoon. If I get 4 hours sleep, I'm going to feel like shit the whole time. Finally fall asleep, get a couple hours. What wakes me up? The feeling that I'm going to vomit. Okay. I spent all day Wednesday throwing up. I couldn't keep anything down, not even water, which they tell you to pound all the time because you have to hydrate yourself.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know if I can even do the show. And I've never ever felt like this, but I was like,
right.
I can't be throwing up on stage. That anything else I can cover.
Oh no.
But
no, they would.
No.
I
can do it bleeding. I can stem bleeding. I'll put gauze on something, but you can't be vomiting on stage.
Oh my God.
So all day long. And I call the hotel, I call the front desk. I'm like, where's the vending machines? I'm like, I just need a Sprite, like something bubbly. And maybe those shitty crackers that they always sell.
Yeah, saltines
and
or something.
Like, yes. He goes, we don't have vending machines. I'm like, what the fuck? Every shitty hotel I've ever been at has 2-year-old food and 15-year-old Sprites in the fucking vending machine.
Right. There should be. They didn't have a closet store.
Nothing, nothing. So then
that's weird.
I text the comic at Mark and I go, I'm so sorry, but can you get me some saltines and 7-Up? I'm just dying over here.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He does. I eat. That comes up. I'm like, oh my fucking God. So it's hours before showtime. And then I feel like my stomach got it all out, whatever it is. And it was settled. Right. Oh. And then I was like, fuck, I have COVID. I mean, it felt for sure 100% related to the hamburger and the altitude. Mm-hmm. It was all very, so then I just call the pharmacy, you know, it was a 15 minute walk. And even then I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Cause I can barely walk to the door of the hotel room. And I go, do you guys have COVID tests there? She goes, yeah, they're $36. I'm like, oh, you know what? Fuck it. If I have COVID, everyone's going down. But I'm not spending $36 on a fucking test. So did the show. Felt okay at the show. Felt weak from being sick all day, but didn't feel like I was in danger of actually vomiting. And I think that the show adrenaline
took over. I can't believe you did it. I think we've all, but you were just like, just power through. I've already caused this guy enough terribles.
Yes. That's the other thing. I'm like, I can't, after everything I've done to this gig, I can't not show up. Right. Especially because he sold it out without saying who was the headliner. Like that's really fucking hard to do. Right.
Yeah. He's a great promoter. He came to my show, by the way.
He came to Minneapolis
days later. Weird. It's awesome.
But so that was, the show ended up being okay. Like I didn't feel on my full strength. But then when I headed to Denver the next day, he drove me to Denver to the condo. I felt that whatever, cause I remember you saying that you felt weak your first night on stage at Denver. And I thought, well, at least I probably got that over with, you know, and now I'm coming down. I'm descending in altitude from Vail to Denver. So my body was actually felt better, a lot better. And I didn't feel any weakness the rest of the week here.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Did you end up using any of those sort of oxygen cans of air?
I did, but someone told me it was pointless, an actual resident of Vail, because I was like sucking on some oxygen. And she's like, you need one of those canolas or canalas. I forget, but it's the thing elderly people have just shoved up their nose with a tank.
Oh,
which will, I'm assuming I'll be wearing in 5 years.
On stage. and then you'll get the applause break you deserve. But yes. I will, if you have any, leave a couple of cans for me, because I actually like that stuff. Okay.
I'm leaving you Kerrygold butter. Okay. And I went in with a clean knife. It's not been touched by human fingers. Okay. Even though it's exposed.
I don't know that they will leave it. You know how sometimes
I'm going to leave a note. I'm going to leave a note.
Jackie's here. She trusts me. That's what you should.
Yes.
Right.
I will. And I will. There's no coffee here, but I bought hazelnut coffee at Sprouts. But if you don't like hazelnut, I'm not leaving it for you because I love it. Should I leave it for you?
Take it.
Why didn't you like it? It's good.
Well, because they usually have Folgers. And by the way, I think we're 10 minutes late for the second break.
Okay.
So let's take a second break.
Hi, it's me, Dave Hill, from before. Here to tell you about my brand new show on Maximum Fun, the Dave Hill Good Time Hour, which combines my old Maximum Fun show, Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident, with my old radio show, The Goddamn Dave Hill Show, into one new futuristic program from the future. If you like delightful conversation with incredible guests, technical difficulties, and actual phone calls from real-life listeners, you've just hit a street called easy. I'm also joined by my incredible co-host, the boy criminal Chris Gersbeck. Say hi, Chris.
Hey, Dave. It's really great.
That's enough, Chris. And New Jersey chicken rancher Dez. Say hi, Dez.
Hey, Dave.
The Dave Hill Good Time Hour. Brand new episodes every Friday on Maximum Fun.
Plus, the show's not even an hour. It's 90 minutes.
Take that, stupid rules.
We nailed it.
And here's what I like. I like Vietnamese coffee. I like Batista, the one named after The Rock. No, I have no idea. I forget what it's yellow. It comes in a can. It says espresso on it.
Okay.
I like any number of coffee. You can leave the hazelnut for me. I'll do it. I'll drink it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't drink it all, please bring it back.
Right, because
then I'll
you almost spent $36 on something. But you can also take it with you, because I don't eat at that Greek place. I walk a little bit further.
Ooh.
And plus I take lifts. Food at the kitchen at the Comedy Works
at Lucy's.
Lucy's. They used to serve breakfast, and they will again one day. I sometimes I go to the grocery store, and then I just have like cereal or
Somebody else left Canadian Farms cereal, cold cereal here. So
okay.
If you just get milk, you're okay. But what was I going to say? Oh, well, I forget. Oh, the Greek place, Yanni's, awful.
Yeah.
Awful.
It's
and
terrible.
So expensive.
It's not good.
It was the worst chicken. It was revolting. It made me never want to eat chicken again.
Oh.
Skip it.
Oh. Wow, that's there's injustice there.
Yeah.
How
much time have we done, Kyle?
We've got about 7 minutes left.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead.
They have a good gym down here at this condo. This is like a luxury condo. I'm like, oh, I can live here. I see how people get into this. Very nice.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's
so. The gym has like this cool Nautilus machine with a lot of pulleys, and there's hardly anyone in it ever. Mm-hmm. So I was able to just sort of play around with it. Usually at the gym near my house, there's always like, you know, 300 people crowded around these machines, and they're all really good at it. So you don't feel like you could even fuck around and try something without them looking at you like your form sucks. But no one's here. So I was just messing around. So I'm going to go do that before my flight takes off.
Did you go into that pool that you can see from the balcony ever? Have you gone down to that level?
No. I brought my suit, but in case I was going to lap swim, but I just let go of that dream for this,
for this particular week.
For this trip, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I am going to Milwaukee today, later today. Mm-hmm. I have hung out with so many people on this trip to Minneapolis. Everyone except for my brothers. My brother Phil is in Minnesota, or Montana, mm-hmm. rather, and my brother Scott has not contacted me, even though I posted, hey, I'm coming. And but I hung out with my sister a little bit, and then I hung out with my old roommate, and I hung out. I'm going to go walk around Lake Harriet today with a friend of mine that I used to work with. His wife was my hairdresser, so they're friends. I don't know why you need to go on that journey. But and then Mike Kaplan's here next week at the Acme. Yeah.
Cool. I love Mike Kaplan. He's great.
Yeah. And Chell's going to headline the Wednesday, because I guess Mike's not coming in until Thursday. So,
Chell's.
Yeah, do you know Chell? Chell's last name, Bjorn? What the fuck is Chell's last name? He's a Minneapolis comic. Yeah.
Men don't have last names. Men
that's right. It's names. Just Chell. Yeah. So, it's very sweet. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Chris Fairbanks. So.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Fairbanks. So he's, he has a last name.
Yeah. Yes. You know why? Because he's working on my poster. So, right.
If anybody has an idea for a Jackie and Lori t-shirt, feel free to send it to Jackie at JackieKasia.com. So,
Jackie, don't ask for free work from our fans.
I'll pay them in post-mortem. What? That got weird. I'll pay them after
we'll give you a t-shirt of your art.
No. Jenny Fine came to my show last night, first show.
Yeah.
And she did most of it. She did the art for the Horcrux album. She did the art for my dad's shirt, where she drew the picture of my dad. And it's so funny because my dad has seen the dad shirt and the coin, the challenge coin with this picture. And he always says, you know what? Since I got that cataract surgery, I'm not wearing glasses anymore. You could redo the art. And so Jenny Fine comes up to me after the show. And she's like, do you want me to redo the art? I can redo the art. And I'm like, no. No, Jenny Fine. You have a life.
Your dad is 83 and he's not wearing glasses.
85.
How come we're wearing glasses and your 85-year-old dad isn't? What's happening?
Because he has got the VA by the short hairs, and he's got them doing all kinds of things for him. So good for him.
There was just another week. This is just another week on Twitter where trending on Twitter was Dave Chappelle and Jimmy Dore. And I'm telling you, only male comics trend on Twitter. And it's only because everyone's angry at them, you know?
Right. It's never for
justified
good
justified or
reasons.
Not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when female comics almost never trend on Twitter.
I think Tiffany Haddish, people were mad at her for a second. Sarah Silverman, sometimes they're angry.
I guess, and Amy Schumer too. I guess it is when people are angry at them. But you know what? Fucking get angry at us. We're assholes. We're fucking assholes. Get angry at us and make us trend on Twitter so we can sell more tickets.
I'm telling that Mace story on stage, and the laugh I get at the line of when the guy says, you seem nice. And I'm like, that's an illusion. And I was like, I will, let's do this. Let's.
Jackie, what if you sell Cation? What do you call it? What if you call it Mation? Cation Mace. And you sell it after the show.
Because I don't want to travel with a case full of mace.
Why not? We're going to need it now. Everyone's carrying, as you said, we should have mace on our pockets. We should have like little holsters.
Yeah. When you get rid of your purse sized purifier, you can replace it with just a can, just a stack of just weapons.
Jackie, and, I have so much stuff to bring on stage now. I have my purse purifier. I have a book if I'm selling. I have my iPhone to record, and water. It's like I'm carrying, I need a tray to bring out all of my items to put on the stool.
You need a separate table. This is the only, so Robert Jenkins was one of the people who told me I should get a gun. And I was like, no, so many reasons.
To carry on the road, you can't do that. You can't bring a gun on a plane.
You can put it in your checked luggage. If you have I'm not getting a gun.
No.
But so he was like, well, then get this flashlight. And so this flashlight, is incredibly powerful. First of all, it is also, it has the heft of a, of like a roll of quarters. And so he's like, shine it in their face and then run. And I'm like, that's always what I want to do. Run.
You want to give a robber the light.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.